This is episode 42 of the Great Speech Podcast on how to structure your speech for maximum impact.
Let's go.
It's a Great Speech Podcast for the public speakers. We're going way down deep to look at what makes a communicator. We'll look at all different topics from the bottom to the top. So get your mind free of all the distractions and please listen up, listen up, listen up.
It's the Great Speech Podcast.
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 Thanks, Dad. Greetings, greetings, my great communicators. How are you guys doing? I hope you are well. Yes, this is me, Kolarele Shunaike, back with another episode. I think this is, yes, episode 42, which means I've been doing this for a little while now. On this, well, this week's episode is all about how to structure your speech for maximum impact or maximum effect. Now, the quote of this episode, there are actually two that kind of say the same thing. Oh, excuse me, I didn't put my noise down on my iPad. There are actually two episodes. So you see, no, yes, I should remind you, all right? So I do these recordings in one take, which means when I mess up, as I just did, I kind of have to leave it in. So apologies if you're just joining this podcast for the first time. But yes, I do all my podcast episodes in one take, barring absolute disaster. And so that's why this can sometimes be a little bit fluid. But I think it's important to kind of just do that so you get a sense of what I think authentically. So the quote of this episode, I actually have two quotes because they kind of say the same thing and I couldn't really decide between one or the other. The first is by the actor Lupita Nyong'o, who says, "I thrive on structure. I find my freedom in structure." And the second quote is by Anna Kendrick, who was an actor in the movie Pitch Perfect. I think there were three of them, who says, "I thrive in structure. I drown in chaos." I kind of couldn't decide between those two, so I thought, why not just use both? Because the focus of this episode is really on how to structure your speech. What I realized from kind of a lot of the work that I do with clients, which is obviously around communication generally, but a big part of it is on presentation giving, is that people often really don't pay attention to the structure, i.e. the journey that you're going to take your audience on, by thinking about where they start, thinking about how they flow through it, thinking about where they end. They kind of just know what they want to say and then they put it together in a way that feels right, but it's not particularly tailored. And from the work that I have done analyzing a whole load of speeches, some of the great speeches of the world, I have seen kind of intuitively, and then I really kind of did a lot of analysis to break it down, that in fact, the best speeches and presentations are divided not just into beginning, middle, and end, but actually into a five-part structure, which I am going to take you through today. So that's what we're going to be focused on today. Before I do that, let me just give a shout out to, I think it's Dr. Leah B. It kind of came as all one word, Dr. Leah B. but I think it's Dr. and I assume it's Leah and then B, or it could be Lee B as a surname. But either way, Dr. Leah B says, "Great tips, easy to listen to, gives me 5 stars, which is always appreciated. Thank you, Doctor. I heard Collar on the Pat Flynn Show." Yes. Of course, if you haven't listened to that show, I'm really, really proud of it. I was interviewed by Pat Flynn, who is just a god of podcasting. So it sounds like Dr. Leah B heard me on that show. So heard Colin on the Pat Flynn Show, was really impressed with his style and observations. I thought I'd give his podcast a try, and I'm glad I did. Yes, I'm glad you did too. Down to earth, but really spot on advice. And I love his dad at the beginning with a smiley face emoji. Yes, everybody loves dad. So do I. Thank you very much for that review. As I say, I will always give you a shout out if you give a review, because I honestly, you know, I almost never take the time to do reviews, but when I do, it's because something really meant something to me. So I really appreciate when you do that. It means that I have touched you in some way with really basically my voice, right? And what I say. So thank you very much for that. Very much appreciated. Let's get on with the episode. So typically people think about structure just as beginning, middle, and end. Right. And, you know, that there's nothing inherently wrong with that, of course. It's just that it doesn't really take full advantage of what you have available to you, which is that you have your audience in front of you. They are going to listen or pay attention, or at least give you the option of listening and paying attention. If you don't capture their attention, they will tune out. But if you have them with you, why not take them on a journey rather than just kind of force them to listen with something too standard? And in a way, I slightly blame this on Dale Carnegie, who wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People, because as well as kind of the whole, you know, how to develop your charisma and win friends and influence people, which is what he's most known for, he also did a hell of a lot of work, a huge amount of work, on public speaking and presentation giving. He wrote a book on it. Famously, Warren Buffett did the Dale Carnegie course. I don't think at the time for Dale Carnegie, obviously, but I think he had an institute where he where those courses were offered. And it's, I think Warren Buffett said it's the only award or the only certificate that he hangs up in his office, because he realized how much the ability to present would impact his ability to persuade other people. But anyway, Dale Carnegie said, in terms of how he advised that you give presentations, was tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them, then tell them what you told them, right? So kind of announce what you're going to say at the beginning, then say what you want to say, and then remind them what you said at the end. And you know, there is merit in that, I guess. but I think it's very, very limited. It obviously is repetitive. And more importantly, I think, is probably what I would say is, when analyzing the greatest speeches and presentations that I have either personally witnessed or kind of in my research and watching YouTube videos of speeches and stuff, I've kind of worked out that kind of structure really just doesn't do it in terms of really moving your audience to where you want them to be. In fact, it's actually based on a fundamental flaw, with all due respect, Dale, which is that, and I think I talked about this in the last episode on how to choose a great theme for your speech, which is that people are not going to remember what you said, i.e. the detail of what you said. They really aren't. So repeating it three times isn't what's going to help them remember. I think I talked about the forgetting curve by the scientist Ebbinghaus, who worked out how much and how quickly we forget of what we hear or learn in the first place. So you shouldn't look at your structure as designed to reinforce information by saying it again and then repeating it in the hope that that's what's going to get them to remember what you said, because they really aren't. What people are going to remember is the overall message, generally, and how they felt about the things that you said. That is why when I do my workshops, and I will ask my kind of workshops attendees, have you ever heard the I Have a Dream speech? And they'll all say, yes, absolutely. You've probably seen it several times. Okay, start writing all the individual words in that speech. And they pretty much stop after the first hello, you know, kind of thing. Why? Because as great as a speech as that is, and it's the most referenced speech in history, nobody remembers the exact words. You know, you will, so I say nobody remembers the exact words. You know, you will probably know the I Have a Dream, that my four little children would be judged not by the, you know, color of their skin, but the content of their character, right? You might remember Let Freedom Ring from somewhere to somewhere and free at last, right? So you'll remember snippets of it, but you really won't remember the detail at all, right? And, you know, in fact, to take that I Have a Dream speech, and Martin Luther King didn't start with, I'm going to tell you about my dream. Here's my dream. Now, here's the dream I just told you about, right? That's what he would have done if he followed the Dale Carnegie approach to the structure of a speech. But he didn't, of course. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to outline a five-part structure that is much easier to follow, in fact, in my opinion, but also much more importantly, it's much more impactful for getting your point across and getting the information across that you want to get to your audience. So what is the five-part structure? Let me outline it in summary, and then I'll give you the detail of each element of it and why it works and why it's so important. So the outline of the five-part structure is this. Number one, an engaging opening. That's number one, an engaging opening. Number two is a clear introduction. Clear introduction, and I'll explain the difference between those two. Number three is the main body of your speech, the main body, which is kind of the meat of the speech, the detail that you need to put in. Number four is a compelling conclusion, right? That's kind of really what everything is geared towards emphasizing. And number five is a satisfying close, Something, effectively the last thing you say that really brings everything to the perfect ending for your speech or presentation. That is the five-part structure: engaging opening, a clear introduction, main body, a compelling conclusion, and then a satisfying close. That's the five-part structure. Now, I'm going to complicate this even further, but trust me, it's not complex. It's just adding an extra part to it. And to do that, I want to tell you a little bit about my favorite director in the world. No, it's not Spike Lee. I don't know who else. Quentin Tarantino. No, it's Alfred Hitchcock. I'm a real Alfred Hitchcock nut. I've got the entire kind of collection of all his movies. If you could see me physically in my office, you would see behind my right shoulder, there is a picture of Alfred Hitchcock smoking a massive fat cigar with a bird perched on the end of it, which I think was an advert that they used for promoting his movie, The Birds. My wife and I kind of binge-watched Hitchcock in our early days of courting, I guess. So yeah, I love Hitchcock. I love Alfred Hitchcock movies. But the important part of that is that I discovered actually that Alfred Hitchcock, maybe because he started his life as a silent movie director, when he actually wrote his movies, or when he directed his movies, he would actually have two scripts that he called the blue script and the green script. And the blue script would contain all the information you would see in a standard script, right? The dialogue, the action, the scenes, all the kind of standard stuff that you would see in a movie script. But the green script set out the emotion that he wanted his audience to feel in that particular scene, right? So blue script sets out the detail, dialogue, action, scenes, all of that. The green script is the emotion that he wanted his audience to feel at that particular moment in that particular scene. And it always struck me that this was a brilliant way that should be applied to all speeches as well. Because again, if you think about the fact that it's really what you make people feel that they are most going to remember, even in the most kind of data heavy, information focused presentation, as I'll go on to kind of explain. If you remember, it's the emotion that actually people will take away most. It really means that when you're preparing your speech and thinking about your presentation, you should also be thinking not just about what are you going to say, but what's the impact it's going to have on your audience, so that the impact you have or you want to have is what drives what you are going to say, as opposed to the other way around, right? I'm going to say this and it just happens to have this impact. So in a way, you want to think about the green script part of your speech first. Okay, I'm about to open. What's the impact? What's the emotional impact I want this to have on my audience? What state do I want them to be in at the time that I say these words, or because of these words that I say? And then work out what you need to say in order to have that impact. I hope that makes sense, and I hope you understand why I talked about the Alfred Hitchcock approach of blue script and green script. It's really what I'm going to say, and on the other side, what's the impact, right? And in a way, you want to think about the impact first and then work out what you're going to say. So I know that's added a little bit more to it, but trust me, it's still quite self-contained. It's a five-part structure, plus we're dividing it kind of in two as well. So we're always thinking about the impact that anything we're going to say is going to have on our audience. So the first part of that five-part structure is your opening, right? Your opening. Your opening is the very first words that you say. And one of the things I want to emphasize, I'm going to beg on my knees, if you can see me, for you to take this on board, which is you do not have to start with a preamble. Hello, everyone. I'm Kola. Really nice to see you, have you here or be here. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I really appreciate all of that stuff. Or start with an apology. I'm really not used to speaking in front of many people, so please forgive me if I make an error, right? You don't have to start with that preamble stuff because you're not saying that stuff for your audience. You're saying it for yourself. You're saying it so that you kind of, at least I've gotten some words out, and let me apologize because if I say that I'm not that great, maybe they're not going to judge me as harshly. All of that is not for the benefit of your audience. It's for the benefit of yourself. And as you will have heard me in this series, and certainly in the episode on your audience and analyzing your audience, you really have to think about your speech as something that is for the benefit of your audience. That is who you're doing this for. You're not doing it just so you can speak. You're doing it so that your audience hears or learns something new or is motivated to do something they wouldn't have been motivated to do before or discover something of great importance or feels in a way that you decided that they should feel. So that preamble or pre-apology kind of opening is designed just to make you feel better. It doesn't do anything for your audience. So cut it out, right? I want you, with every speech or presentation you give, to think in these terms. I'm going to start strong. I'm going to engage them right from the first syllable that I utter, right? That's why I've called it an engaging opening. And you can start right into exactly what it is you want to say, especially because, as I'll explain, that's why I said the difference between the opening and the introduction. You can still do some of that preamble in your introduction. Again, I'm going to say you probably think whether you need to or not, but you can do that in the introduction, which is a part that comes next. But in the opening, I want you to think about how can I grab their attention from the very first word that I say? How can I grab their attention from the very first words that I say? So the options are things like a great quote, right? I start my episodes with quotes often. A shocking or interesting statistic that fits into the information that you're going to give throughout the rest of the speech. You can use the location. One of the things, people use is, where they are, for instance, and maybe there's some sort of relevance to where you are to the topic of your speech. Or another one that I use quite often, actually, is a date reference. So very often you will find or discover, and you can do this by going onto Wikipedia, by just typing in the date of your speech, and it will give you a list of everything that happened on that date of any note of significance in history, right? So, today is the 6th of July, right? And so you type 6th of July into Wikipedia and it will give you, all sorts of things that happened on the 6th of July on that date. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to type in, search, go into Wikipedia, Yeah, here we go. And type in the 6th of July into Wikipedia, and let's see the dates that it throws up. So the first one we've got is the Battle of Leuctra. Don't know, it's a Spartan battle in 371 BC. But beyond that, you've got Richard III's crowned King of England in 1483 on that date. You have got, let's see, what else is there here? Louis Pasteur successfully tests his vaccine against rabies in 1885. You've got Arabian troops led by Lawrence of Arabia in World War I in 1917. Also, the AK-47 goes into production in the Soviet Union in 1947. Althea Gibson wins Wimbledon Championship in 1957 on this date, becoming the first black athlete to do so. And pretty interesting one here. John Lennon and Paul McCartney met for the first time as teenagers on this day, 3 years before forming the Beatles. That was in 1957 on the 6th of July. So that's kind of an indication of some great information. And there's loads of stuff here, right? Some great information that you can discover that happened on the date that you are giving the speech. It also gives you births as well and deaths as well, you know. So, you know, and really quite useful information. You'll be able to find from any one of these things something of relevance, right? A person that was born on this day, a person that died on this day, a battle that happened on this day, whatever it is, something of relevance to your speech that you can use as an opening. You know, on the 6th of July in 1797, blah, blah, blah happened, and it reminds me of the importance of whatever it is, right? You can think about that. So that's another great opening option. Another option is to start with a question, you know, a question that's really the central theme of what you're going to address in your speech. And you start and open that question, and then you know that through the rest of your speech, you're basically going to answer that question, right? That's another good opening. Or just a bold, shocking statement, something that's really going to get them paying attention because of the stark nature of it. Or, of course, one of my favorites, you guys will know, is stories, right? Using a story or an anecdote or something, because stories have such a powerful impact on getting your audience fully, fully engaged in what you are going to say. So that's the thing, is start strong, start engaging right from the first word. Don't waste that, you know, those first 30 seconds that you have your audience for. Don't waste it with mild preamble stuff that basically is meaningless, because what you're giving up is the opportunity to have your audience sit up and pay attention and be like, wow, okay, I'm going to listen to the whole of this thing, right? Because, you know, you had me from hello. So that's it. Don't waste the time with your audience. And of course, the other part of that in terms of your engaging openings, to think, okay, so if I really want to engage my audience from the start, what is the green script side of that equation, right? What is the emotional impact that I want my audience to experience? Because that's going to help me decide what it is I'm going to say right from that beginning. So, you know, do you want your audience to be shocked from the start, or angry, or intrigued, or excited, or curious, or sad, or happy, or frustrated? You know, whatever it is, right? So whatever it is that you would like your audience emotionally to feel from the start, start with that. That's why, even if you're giving a very data-centric or information-heavy speech, you can still think in those terms, right? You know, if you're giving a speech about reporting the results of, you know, your company or whatever at this quarter, you know, you can identify a statistic or a figure that shows how much danger your company is in, because the emotion you want to get from your audience is that they are aroused, or they are shocked or surprised that things are going so badly, right? You can say, you know, although things look fine, you know, we suffered a 9% drop in customer retention rates just in the month of February alone, right? And people are like, oh, what? Wait, what? I thought we were doing well, right? So it's just thinking about the emotion that you want people to have, and then creating an opening that will tap directly into that emotion. So that is your engaging opening. Just don't waste that opening. It's such a valuable period for your speech. That then leads us into the introduction. And the introduction is really where you're going to lead your audience into the focus of your speech. And this is where, if you want to, you can set out who you are, you know, thank people for coming, where you're coming from, you know, all of that stuff that typically people do. I still don't want you to apologize for speaking. Just don't, however nervous you are, your audience doesn't care. They just want to hear you speak. So you don't need to signal to them or say it to them. There's a few clients that I work with that would constantly do that at the beginning. And I'd always say, listen, unless you tell me that you are nervous, I would not be able to tell from what you are saying. So don't signal it to me, because once you do signal it to me, that's all I'll be thinking about. So in the introduction is really where you can kind of lay out, okay, what this speech is really going to be focused on. It's kind of your opportunity to frame the focus of your speech, like setting the table, right? It's okay, so what we're going to examine is this or whatever it is, and you're kind of leading into it. It's where you can set the rules of your speech or presentation, like, listen, I'm going to try and get through this and there'll be Q&As at the end or whatever it is, right? So see your introduction as leading in, setting the table for your speech. And in terms of thinking of the green script side of that, there's often not too much to think about in this part in terms of the green speech. You know, it might be that you want the emotion people to have to be curious, like, okay, that's interesting. If that's what we're really going to be talking about, I wonder what's going to happen there. Or you're intrigued. Or you may want them to be agitated, you know, by your really setting out how deep the problem is, and then you're going to examine what it is. So think again about what's the emotional state that I want my audience to be in, and then what's the introduction, a clear introduction, that so that they understand what is it that I'm going to be asking them to think about through the course of my presentation. And that might include saying what you're not going to be discussing, right? This is not going to be a discussion about, you know, the merits of going to war, right? You know, I'm going to talk about the humanitarian impact, whatever it is, right? So that's an opportunity for you to really set the table in your clear introduction. Think a little bit about what's the emotional state you want people to be in. But this is really just about getting things set. Which then takes you into the main body of your speech. The main body of your speech. Now, the thing about the main body of your speech is that it's the meat of your speech. It's the heart of your speech, right? And it's also the most dangerous part of it. Because this typically is where most speeches fail. Most speeches fail in this part because this is where audiences get lost, where it loses focus. You start to meander. You know, it's slide number 37 of 89 and the audience is like, oh my goodness, how long is this going to be? It's interminable. I can't take it anymore, right? This is the part of your speech where you will typically lose your audience, even if up until this point they had given you the benefit of their attention. That's because very often this is the part where people just decide, okay, I've got a whole load of stuff to say, so this is the part I'm going to say it. And because it doesn't have three particular elements, which I will talk to you about, it loses focus. It becomes just a long list of stuff rather than information that your audience needs to have in order to achieve what you want to achieve. So this is what I want you to think about when you start to kind of work out, okay, what's the main body of my speech going to be? Step one, again, is to head to the green script part of your speech, right? When you're preparing, think about what is the emotional or what's the impact that I want this section of my speech to have on my audience. So do I want them to be building their outrage because I'm going to lay out some terrible things that should make them feel indignant? Or do I want them to feel confidence because I'm giving them information that is showing how, you know, on top of the business that we are? Whatever it is, think about what is the impact that you want this part of your speech to have on your audience. And then think about what to say in order to have that impact, right? Don't just say something and then say, oh, actually, it had this impact. Oh, who knew? Okay. So once you've thought about, okay, what's the impact, the emotional state that I want my audience to be in during this main part of my speech? Then the three elements that the main body of your speech needs to have are direction, variety, and momentum. Direction, variety, and momentum. And the direction is really about start with the end in mind. What is the conclusion, the ultimate message that you want your audience to get by the end of your speech? Because that's what's going to be in your compelling conclusion, which I'll come to. And once you know what that conclusion is, only say things in the main body of your speech that are going to help towards that eventual conclusion, which means you don't say stuff that won't. I know that might sound simple, but believe me, it's incredible how often I've worked with clients on a particular speech, for instance, and they're saying certain things. I'm saying, okay, well, hold on. Wasn't the conclusion you wanted people to reach this, X, whatever it is? So just think about what you just said. Does that actually go towards that? And it's like, oh, no, actually, it doesn't. Does it go the opposite way? Oh, actually, yeah, it does. Or does it have any bearing on it at all? No, not really. Then take it out. Don't waste words. The best speeches feel too short. The worst speeches feel too long. So be concise and only say things that you need to say in order to support the conclusion that you are going to reach. Everything else is worthless and probably, in fact, is going to undermine that eventual conclusion. So direction is about I'm saying these things because I'm heading to a particular point. And so all the points that I'm saying fit in with that overall or eventual conclusion I want to reach. And so it feels like I'm heading towards a direction as opposed to just a whole load of points strung together, meandering and rambling, long lists with no particular purpose. Then it loses direction. Then your audience wonders, really, is this going anywhere? And if they feel it's not really going anywhere, then they start to tune out. So that's the first element that you have to have. Make sure your points in your main body have direction. You only saying them because they're going to help towards your eventual conclusion. That's element number one. Element number two is variety. Even if you are heading in one direction, the human brain tunes out if it hears the same thing over and over again or in the same way. So you must build in variety into this main body of your speech. And that can be done in many different ways. It can be in the way that you express yourself. You know, sometimes you're quieter, sometimes you're louder. You know, sometimes you speed up, sometimes you slow down. So there's variety in your delivery. There should also be variety in the points that you make. You know, not everything is, you know, I make this point and then I make this subpoint. I make this point, then I make this subpoint. You know, some maybe I make a bold statement, I back it up with a story. Then I give three sub-points that help. On this next point, I'm just going to make a statement and move on because I don't really need to go into the detail. You know, I'm going to have slides that look this way and then I'll have a video that does that. So variety built in because then it keeps your audience engaged because they kind of don't know what's coming next. So they pay attention because they want to find out what it is as opposed to them feeling like, yeah, I just have to get through this. There's nothing particularly new or innovative that is going to be shared with me. So think again about the variety that you're going to have in this main body of your speech. And the third part is momentum. Momentum. which is you've really got to make sure it never feels like it's getting stuck. So if you have slides, for instance, the problem isn't how many slides you have, actually. The problem is if people feel like each slide is like a slog to get through, right? They put up slide number one, it's got 15 bullet points, and the way you do it is you're going through all 15. It's like, oh, goodness, man, this guy's only on point number 3 of 19 on this page, and there's still another 50 slides to go. That feels like it has no momentum. It feels like it's just stuck and it's turgid. So you want to make sure that you really have momentum. So it's almost like you are giving a point, and almost before the audience has had a chance to digest it, you're moving on to another one, but it builds on it so they never lose it. So momentum, keep going, keep the pacing moving. You know, sometimes if you watch movies, you'll sometimes notice this where you realize that actually they move through a period where they've got much shorter scenes. So it's like one after the other, and it feels like this building up to a climax, and then it will slow it down a little and have, you know, little love scene part, you know, takes its time, that kind of thing, right? So make sure you have momentum in your speech. That's direction, variety, and momentum. And if you can get those three elements to be how you kind of create and deliver this main body part of your speech, plus you make sure it has the emotional impact you want to have on your audience will stay engaged with you all the way through. That's why this is so different from just beginning, which could be anything. Your middle is just throw stuff in, and your end, which is, okay, now I've ended, right? This is a much more powerful structure because it takes your audience on a journey. Which then means we move into your compelling conclusion. And again, the place you start with is your green script. What is the emotion? What is the impact that I want to have on my audience in this part? What is the impact I want to have on my audience in this part? I want them to feel hopeful. So I'm going to kind of build up to that hopeful message. I have a dream, classic example. Yes, we can. Barack Obama, again, in his conclusion, that's where he stated the whole yes, we can refrain. What is the overall emotion that I want my audience to have? You know, if I want them to be furious and angry, then this is where I'm going to give them the compelling message that gets them furious and angry so that by the end of my speech, they are ready to march or to, you know, petition the government, whatever it is. This is where you think about what's the overall message of my speech. It's also often the place where the theme of your speech really comes out to play. So I gave that example I talked about the theme in the last episode about how to choose a theme that really helps your message be remembered. Go back to that episode to listen to it, because I really urge you to take these ones in order. So what's the overall conclusion of your speech? What's the overall message? And it could be that, you know, we need to change our financial year because it's actually affecting our cash flow. I don't know, right? But that's the overall message you get to in your conclusion, but you've built to that from your engaging opening, through your introduction, through your main body. You know, in history, you can look at, obviously, the I Have a Dream speech, Martin Luther King, the speech by Hillary Clinton, Women's Rights Are Human Rights. In her conclusion is where she set out that kind of famous proposition. You've got Emmeline Pankhurst, who gave her freedom or death speech in 1913 in Connecticut in America. She said, this is in kind of her conclusion, which is, you know, towards the end of her speech, we will put the enemy in the position where they will have to choose between giving us freedom or giving us death. It was a really stark speech by Emmeline Pankhurst, who was the leader of the suffragettes fighting for women's votes and women's equality. So think about, this is the part where I'm going to set out the big message that I want to leave my audience with. I know that they're going to forget everything else, But as long as everything else I have said leads them to believe in this overall message, it won't matter that they forget the detail, because they'll be left with that overall feeling of, yes, we have to change, or yes, we have to do this, or yes, this is the way we should be thinking about the business right now and nothing else. And that's why this is a much more powerful structure, I'm afraid, than Dale Carnegie's tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them, then tell them what you told them, because they just won't remember that stuff anyway. So think about the green script. What's the emotion you want from them? And then what's the overall message that's going to help them have that emotion? Because when you have the emotion, the message, and the theme all working kind of interrelated together, it is the most powerful method of communicating your message to your audience through a speech. So think about, in a way you want to think about, what, before you start thinking about planning your speech rather, what you're going to say, what is this part of my speech going to be? What is my compelling conclusion? The thing that is going to be this, the clear expression of my overall message that I want my audience to take away. And then create your speech to help you achieve that great moment. That's the power. That's kind of a climax of this speech or presentation. And then once you get into that, or once you've done with that, then you finish with a satisfying close. And a satisfying close is something that kind of comes full circle, brings it to an end that feels right. You know, if you think about movies, you know, love story movie, right? It ends with the couple, you know, kissing and, you know, feeling that they've, you know, matched each other, whatever it is. It just feels satisfying that, yep, I know this was a love story and this is where they got to in the end. Or, you know, one of the greatest endings of a movie, I always think, is Thelma and Louise, where the ending of them is them driving off the cliff, off the Grand Canyon. And in fact, it kind of freezes in midair. Sorry for spoiler if you haven't seen Thelma and Louise. But the point is, that was a satisfying close to the end of the movie, given all the things that those two women had been through the movie. So that's an example of a satisfying close. And you want to think about that with your speech. What is going to bring it to an ending that feels, yeah, that was complete. That was an entire, beautifully balanced, self-contained speech that gave me a great message. And a good way of doing this is actually to reflect the opening or the start of your speech that you had. So could you use another quote that kind of signifies where you've gotten to by the end of your speech? You know, could you give another statistic that reflects the one you gave at the beginning, or another thing that happened on this date in this place, you know, something like that, or another question that takes us out, another bold statement, or a final story or anecdote? And if something that says, we started here, and because of the things I've said to you, this is where we've now got to. And it will just feel like your speech is perfectly balanced, perfectly self-contained, and it kind of gives a complete package to your audience that they can take away with themselves and think, yeah, that really told me a lot. So again, going back to the I Have a Dream speech, you know, Martin Luther King famously ended with free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. The words from a Negro spiritual, as he described it. And then he walked off. You know, there was no, sir, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really happy that you listened to me. And I'm here for questions afterwards. You know, he finished those with his last words and then he walked off. So that is the kind of thing that makes it feel like a satisfying close to the whole speech or presentation. And again, it means that you end strong in the same way that you started. So that's a full 5-part structure. And again, you can think about the green script part of your close. You know, what is the final thing I want to leave them with? What do I want them to feel as I walk off the stage? You know, drop the mic. Even if you're going to move towards the Q&A part of it, because it's a presentation, make the final part of it something that makes them feel, yeah, that was fully formed, well thought out. And I have some questions now because, you know, you've triggered so much in my mind. That's it, right? That is the five-part structure to a great speech or presentation. An engaging opening, a clear introduction, a main body that's full of direction, variety, and momentum, a compelling conclusion that really encapsulates the overall message that you want people to be left with, and a satisfying close that brings it to a conclusion that makes it feel complete to people. And throughout all of that, you're always thinking about the green script part of your thinking. What do I want my audience to feel or to take away, or to what impact do I want to have of them in this part of my speech? All the way through, you're thinking about what's the impact I want to have. Because when you know the impact you want to have, you can be much more intentional about it. And then you're going to be much more likely to achieve. Guys, does that all make sense? It's funny, with these podcasts, it's like I'm talking to a wall at the moment. That's what I'm looking at. I've got my computer screen on as well. But I'm really hoping that it makes sense so that you will get out of this a new approach to how to prepare for your speech, so that you feel that you're taking your audience on a journey, because that's when it becomes really very, very powerful. So I'm hoping that all made sense. It's starting to rain. I don't know if you can hear that coming through the microphone. I'll check when I kind of look at the production. But I hope that all makes sense. Again, if you've just come to this episode, I really urge you to go back to the beginning of season 6 and listen to all of them, because it's going to help you kind of work out the way to approach giving your speech or preparing and then delivering your speech in total. So I hope that all worked for you guys. Really, really great pleasure to have you listening to what I have to say. And remember, of course, if you have a review to give, do go onto Apple Podcasts and leave the review, and I will give you a shout out in the very next episode that I read after me reading your review. And that just leaves me to say goodbye in a different language, which this week I am trying Balinese from Bali and in Indonesia, so it looks like the formal way of saying it is selamat tinggal. Selamat tinggal. Apologies for pronunciation. But it looks like the informal way, which is what many people say, is dada, I think. Apologies if I ain't got it right, but I'm doing my best. So, selamat tinggal or dada. I will see you guys on the next episode. Cheers. Bye.